morning. Good morning. Welcome to St John's Anglican Church in Toorak. Welcome to the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. It's lovely to have you here via Zoom, and it's also being recorded for our YouTube channel. Welcome especially to anyone who is new to St John's this morning. Welcome to you. After our service of worship this morning, if you'd like to stay behind afterwards for a time of catch-up and a cup of tea or coffee, there'll be a chance for us all to go away and get a cup of tea or coffee over 10 minutes. When you do leave and you want to come back into the social chat rooms and so on, please put your camera, turn your camera off and put yourselves on mute. That'll protect your privacy. Next week, we are going to celebrate the Feast of St. Francis of Assisi with a special blessing of the pets. So this is a heads up to have your pets ready at the end of next week's service for a wonderful blessing. So welcome to you all. Let's come before God now for this time of worship. Blessed be God's kingdom now and forever. Amen. Come, let us return to the Lord, that we may live before him. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Collect for the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. O God, you declare your almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace, that running in the way of your commandments, we may obtain your gracious promises, and be made partakers of your heavenly treasure, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 17. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with these people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I'll be standing there in front of you on the rock at Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. From the Psalter this morning, we read Psalm 78, verses 1 to 4 and 11 to 16. Give heed to my teaching, O my people. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth, for I will open my mouth in a parable and expound the mysteries of former times. What we have heard and known, what our forebears have told us, we will not hide from their children, but declare to a generation yet to come the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, his mighty and wonderful works. For he did marvellous things in the sight of their ancestors, in the land of Egypt, in the country of Zoan. He divided the sea and let them pass through. He made the waters stand up in a heap. In the daytime he led them with a cloud, and all night long with the light of fire. He cleft rocks in the wilderness, and gave them drink in abundance as from springs of water. He brought streams out of the rock, and caused the waters to flow down like rivers. But for all this, they sinned yet more against him, and rebelled against the Most High in the desert. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our second reading comes from Philippians chapter 2. If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Hear the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our Gospel readings from the Gospel of Matthew from chapter 21. When he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it from human origin?" And they argued with one another, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' He answered, 'I will not.' But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of heaven ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. For the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Almighty God, we thank you for your holy word. May it be a lantern to our feet, a light to our paths, and strength to our lives. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, here in Melbourne, Victoria, we gather today on what we hope is the very last Sunday of the longest and most socially restricted period of time many of us have likely endured as we continue to wrestle with the enormous challenges of COVID-19 and the prevention of its spread and its concomitant illness and death. We watch with sadness at the disastrous spread of this illness in countries without the economic, social, and therapeutic resources that we enjoy here in Australia. We watch with joy the countless acts of kindness, compassion, and love that have sustained so many over such a long period of time. These past months have also posed a wide range of challenges for every one of us and for our community, our church and our society more broadly. We wait eagerly for the end of restrictions, a vaccine, and ultimately the end of this virus and the devastation it brings. One abiding theological question during this period of time has, of course, been this: where is God in all of this? Has God abandoned us? Or worse, has God, like in times of Old Testament yore, inflicted upon us a plague, an illness to teach us some kind of lesson? Well, undoubtedly lessons are being learnt and will continue to do so, but did God bring this amongst us? I think not. A far more likely source is our continued inhumanity to animals, and our encroachment upon pristine natural environments and the treasures and indeed curses that they contain. But the question remains, where is God in all of this? For many people, and I am surprised by how many I speak to who report this, this time has in fact brought them closer to God and closer to indeed the things of God. This time being a stripping away of the things that have become meaningless, or at least less meaningful, in times of great stress, hardship, illness, and restriction. Like you, I've read several reports that describe that people are praying more, not less, during this time. Acts of love and mercy abound amidst, it must be said, acts of selfishness and plain stupidity. I have entertained myself on several occasions by reading reports of the excuses that people have given for driving 120 kilometres from one side of Melbourne to another. This question of where is God in all of this forms the basis of many theological disciplines across all manner of religious traditions over human history. It's not a question that was unknown to those we read about in our scriptures. Just this morning we read of ancient Israel journeying through the wilderness from a known place, that is Egypt, to the promised land, and they're not quite sure where that is just yet, from the wilderness of Sin, an apt name but no relation to sin with the small s, and they are complaining, about the lack of water to Moses, their intrepid leader, who, if you remember, wasn't all that keen on going to Egypt to set the Israelites free in the first place. Indeed, when God asked him to do so, he complained as well. In this short excerpt from Exodus 17 set for this morning, we read that after a time of so much whinging and complaining, sound familiar? God takes action and he helps the exasperated Moses find water. But that basic theological question remains, and indeed was enshrined in the name of the location where the complaining was at its greatest. Is the Lord among us or not? I hope we take some comfort from knowing that we come from a very long line of people who rightly ask of ourselves and our faith that very same question. The second reading set for this morning is an extraordinary text as well. It's a hymn about, or a paean to, Jesus as Lord, from St. Paul, this time in his letter to the early church in Philippi. It comes in a long line of very helpful texts from St. Paul over these past weeks, some of which I have recommended to you as daily meditations. And this reading today I recommend using as a daily exhortation, one part of it especially from verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. We need humility, service, and love of neighbour more than ever. And we also need leadership that, like Christ himself, does not aggrandise itself, but takes on the form of servant leadership, which is, after all, the model and pattern of Christian life. Christ himself said, I have come to serve and not to be served. In the preparation for a presidential election, Michael Curry, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church in the United States, said there was only one question one need ask oneself when preparing to vote, and it's this: will this vote love my neighbour? More subtly and perhaps more powerfully, Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, reminds his audience then and ourselves now that God is working in each one of us. Verse 13, for it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. A personal question for today and tomorrow and the next day is therefore this: what work is God doing in you? Even amidst this period of lockdown and difficulty and trial, what is God willing you to do? Have you been, perhaps, hiding your light under a bushel, so to speak, afraid to acknowledge that God may well be calling you in this time of great change to a new way of being? The answer to the question, where is God in all of this, may well be right here, calling you to do God's work. That is why Paul writes that we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, because our life is measured against how well or otherwise we live in relation to the work of God that is happening within each one of us. And finally, this morning, we hear from the Gospel of St. Matthew, where Jesus is now in Jerusalem, in the temple, doing something that we have seen him do all through the Gospel up until this point, and that is teaching. This time, however, the chief priests and the elders of the temple are upset because he's teaching not out on the street, not by a lake, not from a boat, not from a mountain top, but in the temple, their temple, with its own rules. And as a vicar in charge of a church, I too would be pretty unhappy if I came to church on Sunday morning to in part teach you with another brilliant sermon, to find someone assuming my role and teaching everyone without invitation, background checks, or making sure they have a working with children clearance. Yet that is exactly what is going on here, and the elders of the temple are not happy about it. So the first part of the gospel is an account of their response to Jesus being in the temple and taking the authority of teaching in the temple. They are jealous of his wisdom and power, and they are wary of the authority that has been given him by him simply teaching in the temple. And their motive is to make him stumble and to undermine his credibility. It's helpful to remember here that Jesus was not immune from this kind of criticism. Indeed, it is those who envy him and those who are afraid of him, and in the light of today's reading, afraid of his authority, who in the end sent him to his trial and to his death. Today we hear that Jesus returns the favour by asking the temple authorities a question that they cannot get right, which ultimately, funnily enough, makes them more angry rather than less. And without skipping a beat, he launches straight into another short parable with a simple message. Those who do the will of God are those who follow God's direction, even if at first they refuse. A change of mind or heart is okay, and God welcomes such a person into the fold, regardless of when a decision for God was made. Obviously, then, if someone refuses to answer the call of God in their life, like the leaders standing in front of the Son of God now, refusing to accept him as the Messiah, then clearly others will go into the kingdom of God ahead of them. Makes sense. Jesus emphasizes the point here that it is response rather than social standing, tax collector and prostitute at the bottom of the rung, elders of the temple at the top. It is response rather than social standing that is critical here. It is, in essence, a retelling of Jesus' teaching about the first being last and the last first, with the added teaching that even a late change of mind is equally valid, just as long as a decision for God is made. What is curious to note here is that Jesus does not say that the elders and authorities won't ever get into the kingdom of God, but rather that they will come after those whom Jesus presumes they think are less worthy than they are. Therefore, in the light of this text from Matthew's Gospel, the answer to the question, is the Lord among us or not, or where is God in all of this, is always there and ready and waiting. And the question always remains, however, how we shall respond to that ever presence. Amen.
Let us say the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We come to a time of prayer now, and our prayers this morning are taken from a prayer book for Australia. There will be a period of silence at each prayer point. Let us pray for the preservation of the earth. We give thanks for the beauty and abundance of the earth. Give us and all peoples grace to live in harmony with your creation, wisdom and generosity in our use of its bounty. Let us pray for peace and shared prosperity. We give thanks for leaders who serve the common good. Give wisdom to those who have responsibility and authority in every land, that we may share with justice the resources of the world and work together in trust. Let us pray for our nation. We give thanks for this land and the diversity of its peoples. We pray for our Prime Minister Scott and our Premier Daniel, and all who are governed. Grant that we may so honour one another that all may be enriched by our common heritage and freed from despair, poverty and exclusion. Let us pray for the Church and its mission. We give thanks for the good news of salvation for all people. Strengthen us for our work in the world. Empower your Church to proclaim the gospel in service, word and sacrament. Unite in the truth all who confess your name, that we may live together in love to your glory. Let us pray for ourselves and our community. We give thanks for the fellowship of the communities in which we live and work. We commend to your keeping ourselves and each other, our families, those with whom we work and learn, our neighbours and our friends. Enable us by your Spirit to live in love for you and for one another. Let us pray for those in need. We give thanks that you are the God who brings mercy and wholeness. Comfort and heal, we pray, all who are in sorrow, need, sickness, or any other trouble. Give to those who care for them wisdom, patience, and gentleness, and to us all, especially in these challenging times, your peace. Let us give thanks for the faithful departed. We give you thanks for your servants in every age. Grant that we, with all your saints, may be brought to a joyful resurrection and the fulfillment of your kingdom. I invite you, wherever you are, to join with me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Final blessing and dismissal, and I look forward to seeing you, if you wish to stay, for some tea or coffee in 10 minutes' time. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of God's Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.